We are in a season these days of walking through a time of a new beginning for our church as we go forward. In January, we talked about seasons, and in February, we talked about, oh my goodness gracious, I'll get to it in a minute. We talked about seeking, and this month we're talking about serving, and next month we'll talk about seeing. And so as we finish up this month, we finish up a month. But as we talk about next month, we're going to talk about seeing God, seeing the gospel, seeing each other, and seeing our community in the ways that God would have us to do. But this morning, we're going to finish up this time, this season of seeking. And so today, we're going to talk about seeking new people. Seeking new people. And I have 4 points for you this morning. But open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And I think Heath, who was here last Sunday that spoke, kind of stole my thunder because he used this passage as a reference point. And we'll use this as a passage of beginnings. And so you're probably familiar with this if you're involved in church at all or have a history in church. We call this the Great Commission. This was the time, and next Sunday we'll talk at Easter season about the resurrection, the time when Christ arose from the grave, and then the next days that he was on the earth, and then as he gets ready to ascend back to the Father, he gathers the disciples and he gives them a new commandment. And so we're going to jump off here because everything we do ought to be about people. I mean, it's about him, but it's about people. And so as we start this morning, we're going to look at seeking a new people in Matthew 28. I have 4 things I want us to see. I would say this passage, this covenant, this command, as we began, really and truly is the marching orders for the church. It's what God's called us to, and in the midst of that, he's given us this situation. So let's look at Matthew 28, verse 18. You're very familiar with this, I'm sure. I'll be reading out of the King James Version. It says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, or go therefore and make disciples of all nations," whichever your rendering has, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or to the end of the age." God, this morning in this house, your people have gathered together. I pray that you would anoint the preaching of your word with clarity, with the unction of your Holy Spirit, and that our minds, our hearts, our plans would even be altered by that. Let us be encouraged in those places that we need encouragement. Let us be challenged in those places we need to be challenged. We already thank you for a way that you've already worked through our worship, through this evidence of your Spirit in the hearts and the voices of those who've sung. We ask today that you do the same and even more in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you study this passage, and you probably have studied it before, if we're not careful, we miss. We miss. Because here's one of the things that folks would say, what is the verb in this passage? What is the primary motivation in this passage? Because we're going to talk about the command this morning. There is a command in this, but if we're not careful, we can miss it. And I probably in the years past have preached it wrong, incorrectly. I know that you're going to find it hard that the pastor would ever preach anything incorrectly. Because most people would say it's the concept of going. The command is to go. And the truth is, that is a concept that is one of the characteristics of the command. By the way, you're going every day. This is not something that is, if you're setting on your blessed assurance that God is saying, you get up and go. Because unless you're bedfast, you're going. Some of you are going to work. Some of you are trying to get to 45 on 242. And you get prayed up on the way. Some of you are going to these places. We're going every day. The context of this is what are we supposed to be doing while we're going? The going is one of the characteristics. One of the other characteristics is the baptizing. The third one is the characteristic of teaching. But the foundational concept of this Great Commission is one thing: making disciples. That is the key verb of this entire passage, making disciples. The King James says teaching. It's the concept of what we do. You remember when the two disciples of John came to Jesus and they spent the day with him, and at the end they were convinced that he was the Messiah. And he went, Andrew went and said to his brother, "We found the Messiah." And he said, "Come and see." You see, the context of seeking new people is it starts out with simply saying, "Come, come." The end of it is going. In this passage, making disciples is the crux of what Jesus was telling his disciples to do. Now, please don't confuse this. Evangelism is not making disciples. Having someone share the gospel with someone and change their eternal destination from separation to relationship is the paramount point, but it is not the end. It is not the conclusion. It is not the fulfillment. The fulfillment is that we become what God intended for us to become at the time that we became part of the kingdom. We were saved. We were born again. We were birthed into a relationship with Him. And let me just, we'll talk about this next week because we're going to talk about the gospel, but just make sure we're clear on this. Going to church is not what makes you a disciple. I know some of you have a hard time with this. Being a Baptist is not what makes you a disciple. Being a disciple is not simply someone who's born again, but someone whose life is being transformed and being changed, and we are being morphed, Romans 12, from what we used to be into what God intends for us to be. That's the context of what he's saying to them. Go and make disciples. Can I tell you who else is supposed to be doing that besides them? We are. Going and making disciples. Number one, we're going every day. It's not a question of going. You say, "Well, I stayed home all day." You're still going. You may have gone to Dollar General. You may have gone to Walmart. I bless your heart if you did. You may have gone some other places. But in the midst of that, we are going every day. You may have been going to take your kids to school. Whatever it looks like, we're in the business of going every day. And so I want us to see the command. This is not a suggestion. This is not an ideological concept. It is a command. As you are going, do this. As you're making disciples, do this. Be going, be baptizing, and be training, and be teaching. Because what happens is, this whole process is what happens between the coming and the going. It's not simply coming and then I go. There's a process of being equipped. And our job as a church is not only to come to church, to enjoy fellowship, to enjoy the training, the teaching, but for us to be equipped. Listen, if you teach someone to read, at the end, guess what they can do? They can read. It's not simply you disseminating information about how to read. "Hey, watch me read." At the end of the session, if you've made disciples, if you've trained them, at the end they can duplicate what you've done. And sometimes, before it's over, they can do it better than you. And so in the midst of this, as a church, our jumping off point of meeting and of seeking new people has to start with us obeying the command of being those who make disciples. Going, baptizing, teaching. Oh, by the way, that teaching at the bottom of that, teaching them all things, literally means that we do it with intent, not accidental. We do it with intent. It means to be one who follows, one who attends, one who fulfills. The problem is sometimes churches are filled with people who simply come to church and do nothing else. We must be those who pursue the Lord. Number one is the command. Number two, seeking new people includes encounters. Includes encounters. Let me give you four things about the encounters. What does it look like when we encounter? See, yesterday, the last two Saturdays, because of our cruisers, and if you don't know what that is, we've got groups of folks that are going out every week into the neighborhood and finding folks who are new to moving into the community. And then we take them a basket that's got all kinds of information about the community, about the church, and then a dozen homemade cookies. And I've been going out and trying to connect with those folks and meeting with those folks. When you do that, you have encounters. Yesterday, I was leaving over here in one of the subdivisions, and I was pulling out. There was a U-Haul truck pulling in. Guess what I did? I turned around and followed it into a cul-de-sac over there. I pulled up, and I could tell they were moving out, not moving in, so I didn't give them any cookies. But here's what I know. In a couple of weeks, guess what? We'll go back over there because the new neighbors. It's an encounter. Let me tell you about those encounters. Some folks say, well that's too hard for me. I'm not good at meeting people. I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But let me just give you a couple of things. Matthew 25 says this. Verily, 25 verse 40 says this. Jesus is talking about if you've done this to the least of those, if you've fed the hungry, if you've reached out to those folks all around you, doing all those kind of things, then they say, but we never saw you. And here's what he says in Matthew 25, 40. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Can I give you a quick, easy way to get over your anxieties about encounters? You're not going to meet them. I'm not going to knock on your door to meet you. I'm going to go knock on your door because I represent Jesus. How are they going to know if we don't go? How are folks going to know about the Lord if we don't go? If we don't go and represent Him well. The first thing I want you to see is the encounters aren't serving people, it's serving Jesus. The second thing is this, many of them will never meet Jesus if we don't go. Oh Lord, please reach our community. And we pray that. And He's saying back to us, I will if you'll get off your blessed assurance and do what I've told you to do. Because if we don't go, chances are some of them may never know Christ. May never come into a relationship with Him. May never find Him. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that anyone in their right mind can look into the creation. They can begin to understand that there is someone out there. No one ever goes to heaven because they believe there's a God. They only go to heaven because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And me believing in a deity, me believing in a supernatural, me believing in that is not enough for me to get to heaven. It has to do with the fact that someone comes to me and gives me a biblical New Testament encounter in the name of Jesus so that they can have what I have. Encounters. They're not serving others, they're serving Jesus. They won't meet Jesus till they meet us. Hebrews 13:2 says this, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now I know what the text of that means. We never know who we're encountering. Well, you mean there's angels out there? Sometimes we'll come in contact with folks that we can't understand who they are, why they're here, except that God has brought them. They're angels. But let me tell you, that word angel in the Greek is the word angelos. And it literally means messengers. Now stay with me on this because this is paramount. We sometimes encounter strangers without ever knowing, once that encounter happens, how they're going to be the angel of God. You remember the demon-possessed man in Gadara that was out of his mind, that was wandering through chains, cutting himself? He found himself at the feet of Jesus, saved and healed, and the demons went into the pigs and they ran off. And you're familiar with that story? Do you know the rest of the story? When it came time to leave, he wanted to go with Jesus. I'd want to go with Jesus. And it's interesting. You know what Jesus said? No, you stay here. Listen to me. He said, you stay here and be an angel to the Decapolis. And he went and he preached. See, sometimes it's not us encountering those folks, but it's because we've been faithful to encounter them. God's going to take them and reach into a sphere and circle that we would never have an opportunity to. I wonder how many people in the communities around us are not in a relationship with God because we didn't entertain angels correctly, the messengers of God, that we don't even understand who they are. They may not look like you. They may not talk like you. They may not be who you are. But we entertain those who God will use, that we would think God could never use them. Not only are we encountering them for Jesus, without us, they may never know Jesus. We don't understand who they may be. And the fourth one is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and verse 11 through 13. Let me just read this to you. Therefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. But listen, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are now made nigh to the blood of Christ. Do you know why we need those encounters? Sometimes to remind us who we used to be. See, if I can't see a lost person in the same place that I used to be. C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal. Every individual who's ever lived in their entire life is an eternal being on their way to one of two places. And when I get so settled in my salvation that I lose sight of the sinfulness of a lost world, it becomes easy for me to become complacent. But when I enter into those encounters and I begin to walk in that, I begin to see people who aren't like me. I have to remember that, but by the grace of God, there go I. And the only way that those folks, as we seek new people, are going to understand that there is a God who loves them, a Christ who died for them, is when I began to go in the way God's called me to, having those encounters. So we have number one, the command. Number two, we have the encounters. Number three, we have the methods. And there's all kind of methods. The problem with methods is we make them so difficult. Listen, I'm old, and I've been through every kind of evangelism training that's ever been written. I think all the way back to Evangelism Explosion from the 1960s. That was put out a book about this thick that you had to remember 757 verses. You had to learn all this dialogue to anything, the wordless book, to four spiritual laws, to the Roman robe. Listen, there's all kind of methods. But very practical to our church. Some things that we're doing is one of our methods is our ministries. We're working on summer programming, what that's going to look like. We're doing our 242 Under the Stars. We want you to come to that in April on a Friday night. Live worship outside, food truck, all kinds of fun stuff that's going to be going. It's not for us. It's so that we can say to our community, hey, on a Friday night, bring your family, come and hang out for a wholesome, clean family kind of setting. That would be an opportunity for us. Oh, by the way, somebody will be preaching that night. Not long. Not going to let Joe do it because he doesn't know how to preach short. But we're also working on the 24th of this month. I'm going to Houston to get some training on how, if we desire to, that we can be involved in doing ministry in the World Cup. The soccer matches in Houston. We'll have people from all over the world that will be in Houston that need the gospel. Last week we talked about some new missional relationships. How can we begin more involved in reaching our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? Focusing on besides what we do in Glen Eagles and Harper's Landing and Montgomery Creek Ranch, but around the world. Man, I hope you realize some of the upgrades to our facility. I'll tell you, the look of what we are today is completely different from what it was 6 months ago. What we're beginning to see is this. We're beginning to see a statement to the community. Man, these folks care about their place. We got two more major things that we're going to try to get done before we get in too far into April. And at that point in time, when they drive by are going to go, wow, that's a nice looking facility. Is that going to get them to Christ? Absolutely not. But it's going to say this, there are folks there who care about what they're doing. Every facet of what we're doing is ministry. Second of all, it's talking about our services. We have great, do y'all understand how good our worship is? I don't think you do. I think I ought to tell you about five churches next week you need to go visit. Bigger than we are. Now they do the best they can, but I'm telling you, God has brought us great worship in this church. Not only great as far as the mechanics of it, but great because of the spiritual heart of it. We don't have any performers up here. Nobody's up here to perform. Everybody's up here to serve. By the way, we don't need performers. We need worshipers. We have great Bible study. Wednesday nights, Andy's doing an awesome job on Wednesday nights in our Bible study. Joe's got a great Bible study for the youth in here. Thank you, Joe. I saw you waving. We have, of all the things I can say about our preaching, is that it's going to be based upon Scripture. We're going to have Bible-based preaching. There are great things, the services that we have in our church culture. The main thing about meeting new people seeking is our relationships. Our cruisers are out. Matter of fact, one of them brought me a sheet today. They've gone through and updated again of trying to keep up with new folks moving into our community. Our drive-through prayer on Saturday, man, I'm so pumped about that. We're going to find folks that might not ever darken the doors of our church that are going to pull up in our parking lot because stuff's going on in the world. And they're going to have find somebody here that will pray for them and encourage them. Our home Bible studies. We're starting a brand new home Bible study Friday night that I've been encouraged by. My mind just went blank. Brother David's Aarons said, hey, can you come to my house and start a Bible study? And I'm going out there on Friday night to begin a Bible study in the home. Can I tell you, we need to do more of those? We've got folks here that could do that. Personal small group discipleship. We're working on some. But you know the greatest method of all of how to reach new folks? You. It's you. One of the things that came out of COVID was this. Over and over and over again during COVID, here's the kind of comments that people began to make. For the first time in 15 years, I met my neighbors. They're pretty nice. We're working on another project for the community to let you as an individual begin to connect with about 20 or 30 homes on your street, to know their names and to pray for them. And as we have opportunity to connect with them. Brother Heath last week brought us the concept of, it's called the Bless app. And we're going to walk through what that would mean as we go forward. The best part of that is you get to eat with them. But there's all kinds of ministries there. And so as we do that, as we walk through the command, as we walk through the encounters, as we walk through the method, then the question becomes this, what are the results? That we get an attaboy? We did a good job? That we have more people in the pews or the seats, that we do this or we do that and we can brag to somebody? No, here's the truth. Here's the results. Now, remind me of this. What was the key command of Matthew 8:28? Make disciples. The ultimate goal is this. Look over at John chapter 13, Jesus speaking. John 13, 34 and 35. John is speaking to his disciples. Man, this is at the Last Supper. This is Wednesday night at the Passover. Jesus is talking about what's going to happen. From Wednesday night at the Passover, Jesus went and was to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was captured and he was held till Thursday morning. And Thursday morning, he stood before Pilate, and through the day Thursday, he went through all those kinds of things, and then he was hung on a cross on Thursday morning. and died Thursday afternoon and was in the grave Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Friday, Saturday, and he rose on Sunday. In all of that, Jesus is saying this to them, to those that he loves. By the way, I give you a new commandment. Here's the results of making disciples, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love. By this, all men shall know that ye are my disciples. Do you want to be a disciple? Love God. Love one another. That's simple. There's no book on all the steps we have to do, verses you have to learn, things that you can't do. There's not a do list, do not list. There's only two. Love God and love others. And live that as you're going. And as you do, you're going to find followers who will come. And as they come, then here's what we do. When they come and make their commitment to Christ, when they come and find themselves walking into a new relationship, number one is we baptize them. Not in order to have a relationship, but as an order to set an anchor that this is the beginning of my relationship. I've died to myself and I've risen to walk in a new life with Christ. And that's my anchor. So that 5 years from now, when things aren't going well, and I began to think, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I've got an anchor I can go back to. And that anchor is the day that I stood in the baptismal pool and I made my confession. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He saved me when I was lost. I'm confirmed in Him. I'm set in Him. I'm born again because I know that Christ has loved me and had died for me. I can come back and go, I may not feel it now. I can't hold on to it right now, but I can know this, that it's real and genuine and I have an anchor that holds. Then I'm beginning to learn. Getting baptized, getting saved is not the end. Going to church is not the end. It is, am I being transformed? Romans chapter 12. No longer conformed to this world. No longer being who I used to be, but being transformed. That word metamorpho. We understand that concept. It's an ongoing process. By the way, I never arrived. What did Paul say? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Not only is she or he a new creature, but all the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's the ultimate goal of seeking new people. The results is that we have done what God's told us to as a church. We're beginning to see God at work. We're going to obey command. We're going to be going. We're going to see the coming into the connectivity, the come and see. Then we're going to see the baptismal pools began to be stirred as folks began to make their commitment. Then we're going to begin to teach them all things. We're going to give them the tools they need to be equipped to be the new creature that they are. About 3 years ago, because of the ministry that I lead, I had a couple come to me and say, Brother Dennis, man, you are driving an old wore-out car, and you're traveling all over everywhere. In the past 2 weeks, since 2 weeks ago, I've been to Jacksonville, I've been to Henderson, I've been to Palmer, I've been to Oklahoma, I've been to Dallas, I've been to Canton. I travel a lot. And they came and said, hey, we don't want you driving that old wore out car. We want you to find a nice truck and we'll pay for it for the ministry. So they bought me a 2019 Ford truck. Here's what I know. I'd never had a vehicle that when I got in it and you pulled up to the stop sign and it died, that was a good thing. It had always been what's broken on it. You got to give it a push and jump in and pop the clutch and put it in second to get it to start. You see, what happens is this. That was always there. Then it had this little button I pushed, set the cruise. As I was running down the road, all of a sudden, as the car pulled over in front of me, my truck started slowing down. And I thought, what in the world? Now listen to me. Even though I didn't know it was there, even though I didn't know I had access to that, didn't change the fact that it was in place. As a new creation in Christ, There's things about that world that we live in, that walking with Christ, that are already in place. It doesn't mean they don't work. It means I just haven't discovered them yet. Can I tell you now, I'm really spoiled. I set my cruise, hit the freeway out. I just got like one finger on the wheel. I don't have to speeds up, slows down. Cruise tells me, my little button comes on and says this, it's time for you to take a coffee break because you're swerving. But you need to know this, as Christ, just because we're not fulfilling the command, just because we're not making the encounters, just because we're not using the methods, just because we're not seeing the real, doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It means we're just not accessing it. And as someone who is walking in Christ, as a church who is seeking to be hands and feet of Jesus, our goal is that we have to begin to align ourselves with that going forward. And the methods we use can vary. God can use anybody, and He will, for us to do that in the days to come. As we're seeking new people, be ready. You know the things I'm praying for right now? I'm praying for a keyboard player. I'm praying for a drummer. They don't have to be great. Here's the great thing about our church. We're willing to let somebody come and learn. I had one of the guys that was in leadership one time came to me and said this, Brother Dennis, the reason I love you is because you love us enough to let us mess up. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for submission. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for folks to start new classes. We're looking for folks to help me as we go out and meet new people. We're looking for folks to connect in so many ways. God is not going to wait until more folks come in to start working. He's going to start working with you and you and you and you. If we'll just submit, come and see, go and serve. Amen? Amen. God, this morning in this house, our heart and our cry is that we would be the kind of people that you've called us to be. That we would align ourselves with you. That we would not simply say, God, we want you to do this, but we're going to wait until you bring somebody else, when He's already calling us to serve. Our prayer time, our prayer ministry, our outreach ministries, our connectivity clubs and cruisers and Bible study times and worship times and all those kinds of things that we're involved in. God, bring conviction on the hearts of those that you're calling. Let us serve you. Let us never believe that we're not good enough, that we don't have the talent. God, that because what you call is the willing, not always the equipped. God, move us in such a way that when we look back in a month or two from today, we can already see how you're working and what you're doing in this place. God, if there's people here this morning that need a home to get connected to say, man, this is the place God's called me to serve. There's folks here this morning that need a living relationship. Maybe they've just got some kind of religious experience, but they've never truly walked into a commitment in walking with you. Or maybe they've never had the context of following their salvation with scriptural baptism. Maybe this morning there's a great need. And we pray for those that are going through loss. Pray for Mark's family this morning and the loss of death of a loved one and the family that's going through that. And we pray for Pete Livingston and his wife who've been visiting, who's gone through a hospital stay with kidney stones and seizures and is on the road to recover. We pray for Doris and others this morning. God, my great prayer is this. We pray for you to be active. Find hearts that are submissive and willing to serve, not each other, but to serve you by serving others. Help us to seek people according to your plan and purpose and to fulfill the new command to love you and love each other. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.